This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
During the 2016 election, and really in the months since, Americans have relied heavily on social media to engage with politics. Social networks have also become a go-to place to catch up on what's happening and also to organize. And things move fast. So a protest can start like this, and in a matter of months, become a record-breaking rally like the Women's March. Fundraising for and against causes and campaigns can also happen digitally. But how effective are these new kinds of networked protests? Zeynep Tufekci wrote a book about them. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Your contention is that sort of social media-fueled and networked protests have kind of hit a wall. Why is that?
Well, let me say that they don't have to hit a wall, but they often do hit a wall. So what you can do these days is use digital technologies to scale up really fast and really quickly, which is great on the one hand. On the other hand, doing things the older way had the side benefit that you spent 10 years building up infrastructure just to get to the point you could hold that march. And after you held that march, that infrastructure you built was really useful in doing all sorts of other things, because a march by itself isn't magic, right? A street march, a protest, even if it's very large, it doesn't automatically get you what you want, either legislatively or some other way, right? It doesn't automatically do that. It only works to the degree it conveys some sort of threat to people in power. They think, if they can hold that march, what else can they do? These days, a big march, it's the very first step very often that a movement gets going.
Do you think digital technology also, you know, has the potential for making it easy to sort of opt out, to feel like if you've done your part with a hashtag or even showing up in person that you've, you know, done your part, period, and kind of doesn't have the same, I guess, invested impetus to move forward?
I don't think that, because I think when people want social change, if they're going online or going, you know, to a protest and they're signaling to their friends, look, this is what I believe, I think that's actually powerful.
Now, that's so you wouldn't call that like virtue signaling?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think that's a way of expressing your beliefs and it's a way of affecting culture. The problem is what it's not good at. And just sort of affecting culture, if you don't have the other legs of that stool, right? You've got affected culture, but what about the legislative? What about electoral threats to the people in power? What about the courts? What about all the other things that successful social movements do? So a lot of movements I study, like the Arab Spring and the Gezi Park protests in Turkey or the Occupy, they got stuck on kind of the first thing they did that worked, because since they used digital technology to organize and they didn't have organizational infrastructure to make decisions, it kind of got stuck tactically frozen doing the same thing again and again.
How then do you get the teeth in this networked era? Like, what is effective?
What's effective depends on where you are, obviously. Let's take the United States. It's pretty clear that the 2018 elections are going to be crucial because the Republican Party has power at all levers, basically. A lot is going to depend on the signal the 2018 election sends in terms of what kind of capacity the challengers have built. So that would mean electoral work, that would mean primaries. Now, when I look at this, what I see, for example, take the Indivisibles, which is this movement that sprung up of ex-congressional staffers, and they're trying to organize at the congressional district level because the elections are this big turning point. If you look at their funding, I think to this date they raised $1.6 million, and most of it is from the grassroots. That's a million of it is from the grassroots. If you look at the counterpart to this, if you look at 2016 elections, just the Koch brothers alone, just them, they put in $1 billion with a B to down ballot races in the country. So what you have, I think, is this interesting imbalance in this country where the right-wing movements are very infrastructure oriented. This was true for the Tea Party too. They're very organizationally oriented and they build power by investing from the local races upwards. Whereas more left-wing movements and more Democratic Party, there is very little funding and there is very little attention to this infrastructure thing. Now, there's great grassroots energy right now in the movement. They have a great narrative power. They use social media very effectively. They're out there all the time. They're getting their story out. But are they building the kind of infrastructure that you would need to effectively, you know, challenge these elections? I'm not seeing the corresponding amount of funding from the Democratic Party, left, liberal donor class at all. You know, the movement looks very strong, but if you wanted me to rate it, I would say it's 9 out of 10 narratively and 2 out of 10 when it comes to infrastructure building.
Zeynep Tufekci is an associate professor at the University of North Carolina and the author of Twitter and Tear Gas, The Power and Fragility of Networked Protest. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Zeynep Tufekci is also going to be on Make Me Smart this coming week, talking about Sinclair Media's deal to buy Tribune stations and how media consolidation affects how we get or don't get news and information.